Welcome back to The Conversation. My name is Pastor Ben Kratz, and joining me today again are some of the Women's Ministry Committee executive team. Let's go around and introduce ourselves so that our listeners can begin to put a name to a voice.
I'm Naomi Schmidt.
I'm Christy Meyer.
And I'm Dawn Schultz.
Christy, you are the project manager for this email series, and as such, have a good understanding of how all these emails and discussions sort of fit together. I guess, Christy, where have we been so far, and how in the world did we get to Titus chapter 2?
So we started back in the Garden of Eden. We looked at some of the Old Testament scriptures relating to not only our calling as helper, but also our identity in Christ being created in the image of God. And then we kind of looked at the rubber hitting the road with some spiritual gifts that we've been given. We looked at not goodness, and now we are firmly ensconced in the New Testament and looking more at applications, especially for our lives today.
So the devotions this week have taken us to Titus chapter 2 and have, I think, done a good job of pointing out the importance of both knowing and understanding God's word and having a grasp. As the devotion writer this week said, on sound doctrine or correct teaching, what do you see as the connection between sound doctrine, you know, correct teaching, and now sanctified living, that living we do as children of God, that is the way that we show our thanks and our love to our Savior who saved us? And then maybe the follow-up of why is that sanctified living then made harder when we don't have sound doctrine or correct teaching on our side?
That's a great question, Ben. I think it sounds hard. It sounds scary and intimidating because people think of sound doctrine and they think there's so much I don't know about doctrine and I don't know how I can do this. And I think I would want to start by just assuring people that they do know this, that they do know sound doctrine, because that's what they're hearing in our churches and what a blessing that is. And so helping them see that bridge between knowing that the word of God is the inspired, inerrant, God-given breath that by which the Spirit feeds our faith and encourages us, that's the start. And having that piece of solid doctrine and teaching is a great place to start. But then we know things about baptism and the Lord's Supper, and people don't always make that mental connection that when I'm reminded of my baptism, my sanctified living becomes easier because I'm standing in grace, because I've been given the gift of the Spirit by God himself. My sanctified living is easier when I understand that the sacrament is where God comes to strengthen my faith and to hold me. And so to me, what sounds like a very scary question, I don't know if I know all the sound doctrine I should, and then they're afraid to link that. We do know it. And of course, there's always more we can learn, always more we can connect. But as we go back to the means of grace and start with word and sacrament, that is a fantastic place for our sanctified living to get the strong start, the strong foundation that we need. It's just a great place. And people shouldn't be intimidated by that. They should be thankful that they know what those things are.
Naomi, I love the idea of word and sacrament, means and grace. And you talked so well about the sacrament or baptism. We also know we have that encouragement in Holy Communion. I'll go to the other means of grace and the word, right? And the word is not something that is scary to get into. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be something that's hard to read. You can mine the scriptures for a lifetime and continue to learn so much of what God is saying to you in his word. But you can also start anywhere and learn what God is saying. You don't have to be a theological scholar. You don't have to be someone who is deep into the study of scripture. Just open your Bible and read it and see what God is saying to you. Commentaries, yes. Your pastor, yes. Other mature Christians who need help, who can help explain things to you, yes. But just start. And then that also, God has promised to work through his word and accomplish what he wills in his purposes. So along with the sacraments, just the means of grace in the word is a fantastic way to help with sanctified living as well.
For me, when I consider this question, I don't know how I existed in the world before Google or asking Siri a question. I am always questioning and wanting to learn. And so it's awesome to be able to find something on YouTube or whatever it is. I love that. And so when I consider a question like this, what's the connection between sound doctrine and sanctified living? For me, it's as simple as just every action is informed by what the Bible says. My discernment is informed by what I've learned in scripture. And, you know, it's in the big things of parenting and the relationships that I have in work or in at home. But it's in the little things, how I use my time and the decisions that I make. And, you know, when I'm considering two things that I'm going to do in my sanctified life, the passage, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, comes to mind. And when I have that in the back of my head, it's like, oh, well, then obviously this is the choice to make, because this furthers his kingdom and his righteousness instead of my own. Or, you know, when I wonder about how to make a decision, you know, what is God's will for this decision? Well, God says in his word, God's will is that all men are to be saved. And so sometimes that takes the pressure off that I'm not making a wrong decision or a right decision. Or sometimes it informs, yeah, God's will is that all men be saved. And how is that going to come about if I do or do not do this decision? And so for me, it's kind of this filter that every single step of my life, my day, my activity, whether I'm in church, at work, with my family, it doesn't matter. It's just how the lens and the filter that I see everything through. And if I don't have that, I'm basing some of my decision-making on myself, which is wishy-washy and flip-floppy and different than it was 5 years ago or 15 years ago, instead of on God's word, which is timeless and eternal and truth. So for me, it's like, I need that. That's my Google for life.
Absolutely. I think too, it keeps not just our motivation and guiding our actions, but I think it keeps us being in word and sacrament, helps us stay on that path that remembers that this is simply our thankful living in response to the gospel. And we don't fall off the track by starting to feel like I have to do this. I have to lead a godly life. And it's the word and sacraments that draw us back to Christ and grace. And yes, they guide us and they motivate us. And I love what you said, Don. That's exactly how it works. But being in the word also keeps us humbly at the feet of Christ, remembering not only that we have that opportunity, but keeping us from bearing the weight of that responsibility as if it's ours, like we have to do it.
And in this sinful world, it's never going to be an automatic. We are always going to be fighting against our sinful nature. We're always going to be struggling against, like Paul says, what the good I want to do, I don't do. But Don, I loved your picture of a filter, that as we are more in the word and in the sacraments, it becomes more of a natural experience, as much as it can be in, again, our battle with our sinful nature. And it becomes easier is not the right word. More natural is not exactly the right word either, but just more, you have that as a filter and that's how you're seeing life. And so spending more time in the word just helps it to become that much easier, because that's where your thoughts automatically go without you even consciously thinking about it.
And I think that's what the author was bringing out when she talked about we need to be taught how to love those in our family, our spiritual family, our Christian family, our immediate family. And we grow in that, and we can continually grow in that, but we do need to be taught.
It sounds to me like you're encouraging that people should be regular in worship and consistent in their worship and regular in going to their pastor's Bible class so that they can continue to grow in not only correct teaching, sound doctrine, but how that closely then affects the life they live as children of God and as daughters of their Savior. Just from your own perspective then, and from your own study of scripture, who in scripture, or maybe what section of scripture, do you personally turn to for an example of what it means to live as a Christian woman? Not only who or what section, but then what aspects of that person or section particularly stand out for you?
So mine is a little weird. I need you to hang with me for just a minute. Matthew's genealogy of Jesus includes 4 women. And I should have looked this up beforehand. We'll see if I can get all of them. Rahab, Bathsheba, Ruth, and I'm losing the 4th one. Oh, Tamar. all of those are women who you would not necessarily expect to be in the genealogy of Jesus. Rahab was a prostitute who was outside the kingdom of God. Ruth was from Moab. We know what happened with Bathsheba. Tamar, you know, had children with Judah, her father-in-law, but all of them are chosen by God to be in the genealogy of Jesus. And so here's why it's weird, because we don't know a ton. I mean, Ruth a little bit more, but the other ones not as much, but they were chosen in spite of what they themselves did, in spite of their sinful nature, in spite of their actions. And so that's where I would turn to an example. They don't specifically teach me about how to live, but they teach me that I am a redeemed child of God in spite of my sinful nature. And he has chosen me in spite of everything that I do. And so then the rest of the scriptures help me with how then do I live in that calling as a sanctified Christian woman.
Those are great examples. Christy, I feel a little bit of guilt sometimes when people ask that, because many of the stories about the women in scripture aren't quite as fleshed out as some of the men in scripture. And so quite honestly, when I look at an example of what my life looks like or who I can relate to well in scripture, quite honestly, I'm drawn to Peter. And again, I just feel like I'm supposed to find a woman. But the truth is, I look at Peter and his passion for Christ and, you know, you alone have the words of truth and living, you're the living word, and Peter's confession of faith. And I find myself so drawn to Peter because of his passion for Christ, because of his clear understanding that who Christ is and what Christ's words mean and what his sacrificial death accomplished for me. And I'm drawn to that. And I'm drawn to Peter because of his failures. Because when I fall big, and I see Peter drawing that sword to cut off the soldier's ear. And I think, yes, that's kind of how I can be. And so that's a comfort for me. I mean, certainly there are many people, and certainly the women of scripture do shape me, but I just want to be transparent and say, I find more relationship with Peter than I do some of the women in scripture, but they're all good people. They all teach us something.
Naomi, that's so interesting, because what I thought you were going to say when you mentioned Peter is what Peter says about how women should be. That's where I thought you were going to go. And so for me, that informs me, that section in his book, to know what to look for as I read scripture and see all of the women play out. And my mind goes in so many places. I love a rich, full palette. And I feel like I draw from so many things from so many different women. And I think we could all, you know, list off just different people and make connections, even if we were to sit down in a Bible study and do that. And so my mind every once in a while allows itself to go to the women we don't know anything about and wonder about them. You know, like, what was Noah's wife like? Because I think if I were in Noah's wife's situation, I'd be like, my husband is insane. Like, are you kidding me? We're building a boat, you know, and that would be really hard for me. And I would really struggle to be the only one who is doing something different from the whole rest of the world. And yet you don't hear about her, which means she probably looked a little bit more like what Peter is describing as that beautiful and noble character coming out that supported her husband and didn't make what he had to do even more difficult for him. And so it's sometimes women like that, that their silence is deafening. Who they were called to be a helper to did what God asked them to do.
So as we look at this section of Titus chapter 2, you certainly hear Paul encouraging Titus to encourage women to use their different gifts. You know, as I was reading it, I couldn't help but think of even just the purpose statement for Wells Women's Ministry, that Wells Women's Ministry exists to assist our congregations in nurturing, encouraging, and equipping women to faithfully and fully use their God-given gifts to glorify God. Now, since we have three people from the executive team of Wells Women's Ministry, I think you'd be well-equipped then to kind of answer this last question that we're going to look at today of, how is Wells Women's Ministry doing just that? How is it helping to fulfill Paul's encouragements to Titus?
Thanks, Ben, for starting off with what our mission statement is and why we exist. And I think everyone on the team takes that very seriously. In the last 7-ish years that I've been a part of women's ministry, I've seen women who are passionate about developing material that will nurture, encourage, and equip, or putting on conferences, or having conversations, working together with the congregations, working together with pastors, and learning from Jesus himself, wanting to help congregations, help the women to, like you said, fruitfully and faithfully use their gifts. In the last year, we've had a wonderful opportunity given us to really hone that and take what is said in Titus 2 about teaching the women to teach what is good and develop a curriculum designed to teach women how to teach the word of God. And this isn't like a one and done task list. You go through it, boom, you're done. It's really a resource that is meant to kind of be that walk alongside of you as you grow in your gifts and your abilities to communicate God's word by giving you resources and ideas and helpful tips. This module is informed by many different pastors and Bible teachers who have years and years of experience, who really just were able to share all of the wisdom that they've learned in the hopes that many more will use God's word as their textbook in any way that they can to teach the word of God, because that's what's good. And so we have this, the resource itself is equip women to teach the word. And you'll be able to find it at Congregational Services, at the WellsNet website. As we're recording this module, we're not exactly sure where it is, but you will be able to find it. And I encourage you to go through it. Even if you've been teaching for years or you've never taught before, this module is just a great resource to get you started and encourage you and let you feel like you have a body of Christ walking alongside of you as you go into this ministry. So huge plug for that. We look forward to hearing, I think, from women across the Synod in any way that we can, for even more ways that we can do what we exist to do, which is to nurture, encourage, and equip. And so check us out on Facebook. Let us know, reach out to us. If there's any way that even to this podcast, you can respond and tell us, hey, we would love to be nurtured, encouraged, and equipped in this way. We would love to hear that.
John, too, the thing that I think captures what we do so well is really in this devotion, just tying it back to that, is that idea that we build relationships and we encourage others with the word of God. And I think that's what we're about, is people in God's word. And that's just the great opportunity that we see to encourage other women as we're living out this Titus 2 image and picture command, really, that God has given us.
I think something that women can also look forward to coming up in the summer of 2022 will be the tri-annual Women's Ministry Conference that is put on. And this year, we're going to be taking a look at the book of Ephesians and the unity that comes when we gather around the same Lord who saved all of us and look to him and then use our gifts in the church the way that he's given them to be used. So look for information too on that as the fall plays out and we start getting all of our promotional material ready to let you know what's coming up.
So looking just at the devotions this week from Titus chapter 2, I guess what's a takeaway that you have for our listeners, or one thing you want them to remember from this week's devotions?
I think the thing that was most important to me was how timeless God's word is and how much things have not changed, that we still see women reaching out to other women, to young children, to other people in the body of Christ, and the importance of our involvement in ministry, the importance of how God uses us to encourage and nurture other people and build those relationships. But most importantly, to see how it is that we use the word of God to shape our own thinking and guide our own actions, but to be nurturing others with that same word of God. And that pattern has not changed. That's just a tremendous encouragement for me that not only do I know what to do now, but I know that this is God's plan and God's guide. And I can see it happening in so many ways, but it's just a great encouragement to know that this is it. This is what God's teaching me.
To follow along that pattern, Naomi, I really appreciate the fact that God's word was very inclusive in the people that it addressed. And there was no one left out. God said every person, through Paul to Titus, every person has a place. Here's my encouragement for each one of those, you know, so that's my takeaway. And if I have any encouragement to give to anyone who might be listening, it would be to understand that just the encouragement that I give to not shy away from that. I think, Naomi, you said earlier in one of these podcasts that, you know, too often we think, oh, they don't want to hear from me, especially if you're an older woman or something like that. Oh my goodness, we so need you. We need to hear your voice. We need to hear what you have to say. We need to hear your wisdom and experience. And the fact that no one is going to be like, yay, thank you so much for telling me that. I'm so glad to hear that. The fact that you don't hear that doesn't mean what you have to share as far as what is good from God's word isn't necessary. It's very necessary. And so just Be there with your presence, be there with your voice, and don't shy away from that.
And John, that plays perfectly into my takeaway from this week. I loved Kathy's concept in the first week of, or the first devotion of this week, of playing to our strengths. If you're someone who's more involved in your congregation, helping people to play to their strengths, encouraging the involvement of people who may not necessarily know how to get involved, and encouraging the fact that, yeah, this is for everyone. And all of us are a part of the body of Christ. All of us have valuable things to say. All of us have a role to play. So how can I help people play to their strengths? How can you help people play to their strengths? That was a fantastic takeaway for me and something really important to remember.
Christy, could you give us a sneak peek at our devotions and where our conversation is going to take us next week?
Next week, we are going to focus back in on congregations. We talked a little bit about equipping and nurturing. We're going to look at how that plays out in the life of a congregation and how we as women can help facilitate that.
So thanks for joining us for today's conversation. We'll be back next week with two more emails that will guide our discussion on the unique callings God has given to us as men and women. Be sure to stop by as we continue our conversation then.